T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
One of those things, couple of guys.
Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in
that. What are you looking at me like that for?
What you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic.
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
The pumps make the yams more yammier.
The whats make the whats more whattier?
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Yeah. Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. The Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Wednesday. Hump Day.
Hope day.
Thanks for being with us on a Wednesday. We appreciate it. Tons to get into. NFL football eve. NFL season kicks off tomorrow. Match day for Atlanta United. Jason Longshore going to join us later. Tons to discuss over the next 4 hours. But first and foremost, good morning to you, Randy McMichael. How are you?
What's happening, man? I'm good, man. You know, beautiful day out here and up here in Gwinnett, where some of them wanksters from the Braves should come back and stay permanently. But unfortunately, we ain't got no choice. But other than that, man, I'm just cool. I had a great time. Thanks for everybody that tuned in last night to College Football Game Time with me, Chris, and JC. We had a good time. Also, I want to give a big shout out to Coach Jeff Collins, Georgia Tech's head coach. He was amazing, and everything getting us ready for the protocols. But we will have our normal show this Saturday, 9 to 12. Brian actually did some work last night, Andy, so that was good. You know, he had 4.5 days off, and so we got an opportunity to do that. But yeah, man, it's a big day, and it's so crazy because United, these matches just keep coming. Like when I woke up, I was like, damn, United got another match today.
Yeah,
and hopefully they can find a way to build on some momentum and everything. But man, yeah, we got one more day, and the NFL is back, and you know how excited I get about this. I don't know who gets more excited about the NFL season started, me or Wendy. Because, I mean, Wendy, the excitement that she shows, because I just remember back when this all first started, and we were just around like, well, we think it's going to happen.
Right.
I'm pretty sure it's going to happen. But, yeah, it's here, and tomorrow the NFL kicks off, and I'm extremely excited. I'll be even more excited tomorrow, but, you know, we still got some stuff to talk about today.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's going to be awesome to watch a game on TV tomorrow and then Friday to react to it and Friday get ready for the Falcons game on Sunday as well. There's college football tomorrow. Miami plays a football game tomorrow night.
Do you play tomorrow? That's right.
Yeah, the U plays tomorrow night. The ACC teams kick off on Saturday. Georgia Tech's in primetime, 3:30 the afternoon on ABC against Florida State. That should be a fun game. So, yeah, we made it. And Brian said something in our pre-show meeting, and look, we're all excited for it, of course. But he said maybe more excited because of the doubt that was cast on the possibility of football this fall. And let's be honest about it, too. Like, some football isn't happening this fall. I know all the stuff that we're mostly concerned about here is happening, but some stuff isn't, and games are still being canceled. The Baylor game that was supposed to happen this weekend got canceled yesterday. There have been a handful of games that were supposed to take place already that have not. So the fact that we're able to have the teams that we care most about, certainly, and that our listeners care most about, able to still play, maybe makes it even more special because, you know, there's a lot of fans in the Midwest and the West Coast that maybe don't feel the enthusiasm because their football teams aren't playing. So
yeah,
very, very thankful that this is all going to get going this weekend. And maybe it's right at the right time as well, because the Braves have been really great for the majority of the season. But it kind of feels like all this bad stuff has caught up to them. And maybe I'm a prisoner of the moment. Maybe 4 out of 5 losses and what happened last night, not being able to score any runs against the Marlins. And, I mean, Sixto Sanchez out-dueling, not even out-dueling, just dominating Kyle Wright and the Braves last night. Maybe that has me feeling this way a little bit more than I otherwise would be. But it just kind of feels like the wheels are wobbling a little bit. I'm not saying the wheels are coming off. The Braves are still 6 games over .500 and in first place. But, man, it doesn't feel good right now, does it? Like, it just the whole vibe surrounding the Braves right now is not a positive one.
No, it's not. And yeah, you can be a prisoner of the moment, but this is the moment that we have been talking about from the moment Mike Soroka went down, and it was the fact that you don't have anybody else. I mean, and it's hard to say you don't get upset, because as a fan, you get upset when your team's not playing well. But it's even more upsetting when it seems like it's been the same damn problem over and over and over again. And right now, we're back at that same problem as Braves fans over and over. You got no damn body to pitch. Let's just call it what it is. All right, Kyle Wright talking about, I'm close. You close to what, me? Coming back in critical net? That's what you're close to. Because
maybe
I don't
–
Nothing that – I mean, I'm not going to say the kid doesn't have talent, because, hell, I couldn't do no better. I promise you that. But they don't pay me to be a pitcher.
Oh, he's got talent. You can watch
him. He got talent, man. It's just – I think that's the most frustrating part. But
it is.
But the thing about it, Bunk, what else you going to do? Ain't nobody else out there. You're just going to keep recycling these guys out until you get a quality start from them, and that's where they are right now. And then for them not to be able to put up any runs last night, I mean, give the Marlins pitcher credit. He was throwing a doozy. Now, some of them – that I still will never in my life understand the Major League strike zone, because when the pitch that Ronald Acuna got out, the guy came up and threw the same pitch to Dansby, the next pitch that he called it a ball. So that's what I'll never understand what the Major League strike zone is. But, yeah, I mean, give the kid credit. But, yeah, you can't even say until they get it fixed. Until somebody damn comes out and pitches better, we're going to be in a situation.
Yeah. And
we're going to be in the same damn situation every time we go out when one of these wanks to get up there and do what they do. That dude, he went out there, what'd he do? He did what he did. You know what I mean, just rely. It's you're getting on Space Mountain when he come out there. It's just going to be a roller coaster ride. And hopefully you get off of there and you ain't throw up all your hot dog and popcorn. But, yeah, it's what it is right now.
It is what it is. He did what he did. He's going to do what he does. And that's what the starting rotation has been over the last, I don't know, month, really, since it's been so decimated. And we keep getting back to this same point, Randy. You said we're going to come back to the same thing. We do, which is, okay, just try to keep your heads above water. What does that mean?
Like, what does that mean?
What exactly? Because it's a popular thing to say, and you and I have even said it. But what does keeping your head above water even mean for the Braves right now? Is it stay in first place? Because that's going to be a tough one. The Phillies and the Marlins are in the rear view. Is it going to be stay in the playoff picture? Okay, like that's good. 8 teams get in the National League. The Braves, I think, still have a 4-game lead on the 9th spot right now. The Rockies are just under .500. So, you know, you should be able to, in an expanded playoff year, be able to get into the playoffs as one of the wild card teams. And, you know, maybe that's enough when you look at all the problems the Braves have had with their starting rotation. Is it just stay at .500? Like, I don't really know what keep your head above water right now means, because it's really hard for them to do that. They don't have any starting pitching at all. And this is not
at all.
We've been talking about this a lot. Yesterday's news was Max Fried is out for 10 days. But to see Kyle Wright go out there yesterday, and maybe it's because he was against one of the Marlins' top prospects and the
No,
I'm just talking about how I feel about it. Maybe it's more frustrating because a 22-year-old.
I thought you said that's how he felt.
No, I don't care about that. Maybe it's more frustrating to me because 22-year-old Sixto Sanchez, making his fourth start, seems to have it figured out a little bit better. And Kyle Wright looks awesome in the first inning. Fastball 97. It's moving. He's keeping it low in the zone. He's getting ground balls. He's out of the inning in like 11 pitches. And then he comes back and he starts throwing sliders. And sliders land over the fence. I don't know what it is. I saw a stat yesterday that Kyle Wright that opponents are batting .350 on sliders that Kyle Wright is throwing this year. I understand you want to mix your pitches up. Maybe don't throw that one. Maybe they've got that one red. Maybe you're tipping the pitch. I have no idea. But it's amazing how quickly things come unraveled for that guy. And for him to say he's close last night, okay. Like, close to what?
You close to Indian Trail. Yeah, that's what you're close to. Yeah,
I just
close close to Buford. Man, get out of here with that.
I just
man.
Don't know what they do. I don't know what they do at this point because eventually it was going to catch up to them, and it seems like it may have.
Hell yeah, they don't know what they're going to do. Brian Snicker had he pull it out right now because he don't know what to do because he's going on. Let's just hope. Let's hope this guy goes out and does well. Because the thing about it, as much as Kyle Wright stunk last night, he's going to get another chance to go out there and prove himself again because there's nobody else. I mean, is there a possibility? We were talking in our pre-show meeting. Is there a possibility that, hell, Fulte might start game one for you in a playoff series? You don't know.
There's a possibility that there is no game one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's –
If they don't get right.
Yeah. You're going to have to start doing something to – keep your head afloat. I guess keep your head afloat is make the playoffs at this point. Because the problem is, as we've seen them slide over the last week or so, is there's no real reinforcements coming. The trade deadline's passed. You brought up all the young guys that you can throw out there, and they're kind of not, you know, they're showing that they're still young and they're not there yet. And I don't know, Cole Hamill's going to get healthy eventually. Max Fried will be back eventually. Maybe Tommy Malone. Maybe Tommy Malone is the answer. I really don't know. Hopefully the Braves are able to flip this a little bit because it seems like it's flipped very quickly, even though they've been dealing with these issues for a month now. Hey, go out there and score 10 runs tonight and maybe we'll feel a little bit better about it. So Dan Quinn was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday. And we'll let you hear a little bit of what Dan Quinn had to say coming up in about 10 minutes in What's Trending. We'll let you hear the entire Dan Quinn interview in the 12 o'clock hour. But, you know, it's the first week. There's optimism. They're excited. They're talking about the offseason and all that. But I thought Carl Dukes asked a really interesting question. And I don't know that there's an answer to it, but it's the question that we're all asking, which is, how do you make sure you don't start slow again? And, you know, he asked him if there's anything that you've implemented in the offseason. Is there anything you can change up? Is there anything you can do? Because the last two seasons, Randy, the Falcons have won one game each in September. The Falcons were 1-5 last year through six games. 2 years ago, they were 2-4 through six games. They don't have that luxury this year. Like, you can't start slow the way that they have the last couple of years. So I ask you, I mean, you've been in a lot of NFL locker rooms. Like, is there anything you can actually do to try to make sure that doesn't happen? Or is it
no.
you just got to do it?
Yeah, play better. But, I mean, that's the ultimate thing, Andy. And I've been on teams – where it seems like every offseason the coach is trying to change something. I told you when I was at the Rams and we went to damn Concordia, Wisconsin. What the hell are we all the way up there for? You know, because we're going to be a team. We're going to do this like this, man. I'm like, nobody give a damn about that. You know, we go to Tennessee. We think a training camp, we're going to go back to St. Louis. Hell no, we go back to damn Concordia for another damn week. For what? I mean, I get the team bonding, and it was fun, and we had all that good stuff. But, hell, if you don't play well, what difference does it make? I think this is a point where you got to start fast. That's the cliche. You always want to start fast. But you got to get out and running. You got to get going. And the first thing you got to do on Sunday is that one of the best players in the NFL is coming to your building. You got to find a way to disrupt him. And Russell Wilson is one of the most – undisruptible players at that quarterback position because of the fact that he's such an escape artist that he can do so much as far as when it breaks down. I mean, he's just that good of a football player, and it all starts with him. And so if they don't affect him, it don't matter what they do offensively. They can't affect Russ because Russ is that good of a player. So they have got to go out and, you know, go out and try to establish their identity early. Now, without a preseason, it's going to be some sloppy ball, but hell, they coming all the way across the country to your house.
They didn't have preseason either.
Yeah, they ain't had one. Exactly. Matt Ryan is, 5-1 against Seattle? So, I mean, he ain't worried about Seattle. So, I mean, they got to go out there, Andy, and they got to instill confidence early in this squad, man. You can't get to a point where you're like, oh, here we go again.
Right.
Oh, we're in the red zone. We can't damn score. Oh,
right.
They can't have that mentality,
don't let those
man.
Ghosts creep into your mind because they do quickly. The last couple years have been eerily similar. We'll come back. We'll get into what's trending to kick off the show, including what two players Dan Quinn's talking about here.
Both are back practicing. They were able to practice yesterday.
That's good. Practice is a good start. Hopefully they'll play on Sunday. We'll find out who coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ladies and gentlemen,
time now for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
Brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. With over 200 fully stocked trucks ready to help, Reliable Heating and Air offers next day installation, or we pay a $500 installation guarantee. Call for details.
They both have been limited some in training camp to injuries, but both are back practicing. They were able to practice yesterday and back practicing this week. So as they're going through their first, game week, we'll get closer to see where they're at as we're going to it. But both of them really had picked some spots in training camp where they really shined. And now that we're into the regular game week, we're fortunate that they're both able to participate and get all parts of the game plan in order.
Dan Quinn yesterday with Dukes and Bell. He'll be with them every single Tuesday at 3:10 throughout the football season. We'll let you hear the entire interview coming up in the noon hour and play a couple more clips from it in the NFL No Huddle in about 45 minutes from right now. But he's talking about Matt Hennessy and Marlon Davidson, the second and third round draft picks for the Atlanta Falcons, who both dealt with injuries throughout training camp. Sounds like they're both going to be, at least good to go to an extent on Sunday. Hennessy's not going to be the starter. We know James Carpenter's going to be starting at left guard. For how long? We don't know. Hopefully not that long. And hopefully Marlon Davidson can get out there and be a part of the defensive line as well. Like, one of the main things, and this is a completely uncontrollable variable for the Falcons this season, is staying healthy. You got to stay healthy at a lot of different spots, and that offensive line is one of them.
Yeah. Oh, no, those five guys have got to stay healthy and play well. I mean, it don't make no sense if you're healthy, you stank. But you got to be healthy. That's the first thing. And that's why the Carp thing at left guard right now, he's just first on the depth chart. Now doesn't mean that he'll be the first one out there on Sunday. I think they just want to see where Hennessy is as far as his health, his conditioning, things like that. But, got a chance to listen to some of Dan, when he was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday and talking about basically, about this draft class, about how all of them had this particular, skill set that were going to get them on the field early. But I think it was more based on need than just skill set. I mean, obviously they're skillful. They wouldn't be in the NFL. But, they have a need. They had a hole at the guard position, so they drafted this young man. That's why I still think he'll be the starter. It's iffy if he'll be the starter this week. This weekend, I'm not going to say he's not, but, he is a guy that's going to play a big role for them, and when he's ready to go, I'm sure they're going to put him in there because I think we know what James Carpenter is. I mean, that's the thing about it. I don't think you can get any better. I just think he is what he
not
is.
At this point.
And so, yeah, and so when you look at it that way, that's why I say he'll be in there. If it's not this Sunday, maybe next Sunday. But, that's the one thing you got to monitor because I said yesterday, Andy, as young, they're so young. And today is, the first day of install. This is when you get excited because today is the first day of the game install, the first and second down and all that stuff going today. And so, you know that it's real. And so, as a young player, if you miss a whole week of practice or you're limited a whole week of practice, it's hard for me to think that you're going to have a big impact on a Sunday when it's your first Sunday. So that's why I'm saying if they're limited this week, it'd be hard for me to believe that they're going to play a big role in Sunday's game.
Especially if you're a rookie. Right. Yeah. With no preseason, weird training camp, like it's just irresponsible to put a rookie offensive lineman out there who hasn't had even a remotely normal ramp up period. If he's a little bit, if he's a little bit banged up. The issue with that is, and I'm not saying, this doesn't discount the Falcons from what they can do this year. But one of the things that was and I make a big deal of it because I think it's a big deal in relation to the offensive line in the Super Bowl year. Is the fact that you had all five guys start all 16 games. The Falcons are literally telling us week one of this season that that's not going to be possible this year because James Carpenter's going to start Sunday, and at some point Matt Hennessy's going to start. And again, that doesn't mean you can't win games. Doesn't mean you can't be a good football team. But that cohesiveness that you want on your offensive line throughout the entire season is off to a not-so-cohesive start.
But the thing about it is that, because the cohesion part, because there was never a solidified player at that position. We know that all through training camp, they were rotating between Gano, Carp, Hennessy. They've been rotating at that left guard. So there's no cohesion. So if you want to go this whole week, and if Carp is in there all week, like starting today, Thursday and Friday, you got to start him. You just can't put Hennessy in there.
What
I'm saying?
Understood.
Yeah, you got to go ahead and go with the guy who has been there with these guys because there's no more unit on the team, on a football team, that needs that cohesion than the offensive line.
I'm just saying you're starting the season with that weird little objective that every team has. Every team wants to start all 16 games with the same five offensive linemen. You're starting the season with that objective out the window. Like, you can't do that. Again, it doesn't mean the Falcons can't win this year. It doesn't mean Matt Hennessy can't get healthy and get in the left guard spot at some point and be good. It's just not really the way that you want to start things. Now, as for the other big-time rookie on the Falcons this year, A.J. Terrell will be starting in the secondary. Here's Dan Quinn on that.
I would say, number one, the guys that he faces every day, it is as challenging as you can make it, and he is 100% down for it. So they've got terrific receivers, you know, with Lockett and Metcalf, and they added Dorsett, you know, during the offseason. But we've got a crew that, you know, that they have to match up with every single day. And so doing that every day and finding whether it's one-on-one, you know, in regular team periods, in 2 minutes, whatever it takes, that kind of interaction between players. You've seen Hulu and Cal reaching out to the DBs and vice versa and questions and spending time together. So they've been tested, let's put it that way.
And it's going to be an interesting test on Sunday as well for the entire secondary for the Falcons. Not just, I mean, look, good, smart quarterbacks are going to go after young defensive backs. Mm-hmm. A.J. Terrell making his first start, Russell Wilson's going to go after him and see what he's got. The other thing about Russell Wilson is there's going to be, I don't know, how many plays? 5, 7, 10, depending on how good the Falcons' pass rush is, where Russell Wilson keeps the play alive, breaks the pocket a little bit, and you have to keep with your man down the field significantly longer than you're used to sticking with him. And that's going to be an interesting test for A.J. Terrell and for these defensive backs, for these cornerbacks of the Falcons as well.
Yeah. Oh, and I was going to say, I just got excited because it's football season. So Friday, you know, I get to do my keys to the game. So excited about that, Andy. I was thinking about that today. But, you know.
I can't wait for that.
He puts so much pressure on you. He does, because of the fact is that one thing about Russ, Russ never gives up on a play until the last second. If you ever watch Russ, Russ waits till the last second to throw the ball away. He's going to wait because he has that kind of time. He has that time clock that's like, okay, I can feel all this pressure coming to me. Just hold it one more second, Russ. Take this hit and lock it to be open down the field 30 yards, and I just chunk it up to him. That's what he does best. We know what Seattle wants to do. Seattle wants to run the football, all right, limit the mistakes, and if they're down, just get it to the fourth quarter and let Russ have the ball. That has been the key to their success. That's because he's such a special player at the quarterback position. But he puts a lot of pressure on you. And the one thing that you got to do is that because they want to run the football, you got to shut down Carson, who has gotten better and better because he's been healthy. I think that's the one thing about Chris is that he's been healthy. And so now you see the production that he gets. And then you got these tight ends. I mean, it's a different look Seattle offense when you look at the tight end production that they're trying to get from Geo and Jordan Reed. So You got to rush contain, as they like to say, when you got a quarterback that can find those lanes. And when you're playing man-to-man and Deion Jones and their backs are turned, that's when Russ takes off. You know, that's when he takes off. So they got to keep an eye on him and their man at the same time.
The thing about that willingness to extend the play, though, with Russell Wilson is there's three or four times a game where he's gonna make a questionable decision. Like, he's going to throw a ball that most guys wouldn't throw. And sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But you got to take advantage of those, if you want to call them mistakes, you got to take advantage of those gambles that Russell Wilson will make.
He don't make a lot.
He doesn't make a lot, but it'll happen a couple times a game where, okay, he thinks he sees a defensive back with his head turned, or he's got a matchup that he likes and he throws a ball into traffic that he wouldn't normally throw. Like, he'll give you a couple interceptable passes a game. You just got to come up with them. Because if you don't and you let him capitalize on those, well, then you're in trouble. And you're right.
Good night, sweetheart.
If this game is anything like what last year was like for the Seahawks, it's going to be 28-27. Falcons are leading. Seahawks have the ball with 45 seconds left. That's what the game's going to be. And can you get a stop? Hopefully the Falcons could get out to a better start and not have it be close late like that. Back to the Braves. We started off talking about what it looked like last night. Another young pitcher with a not-so-great performance in Kyle Wright. Here's Brian Snitker.
You know, keeping that at a minimum is going to be key to to any young pitcher. You know, when things start not going their way, you saw it with Ian the night before. You know, he threw the ball away, and then things kind of, you know, spat up on him a little bit. I mean, just trying to keep themselves together and take a deep breath and breathe and, you know, and make the next pitch. So, you know, something that hopefully over time they figure out how to do that.
Interesting point made by Smokin' Joe Patrick last night after the game. I mean, you listen to enough of these post-game press conferences, you start to kind of pick up on, you know, the tendencies of these managers. When things are going really good, Brian Snitker sounds about as down in the dumps as you can get. He goes opposite to try to keep an even keel. Last couple games, Brian Snitker sounded very upbeat, which means things are not going well. He's trying to beat the sadness with a smile. And I appreciate that, but I don't know if it's going to work.
Yeah, because you have a young team, especially that pitching staff, and you don't want to sound panicked. And even though I'm not panicked for the Braves, I'm just really irritated with the Braves right now. And they just came down with some news, Andy. It says that they have reinstated Ozzie from the 10-day injured list. And then, they optioned Johan last night. Johan Camargo to the Cubs alternate training site following last night's game. Yeah. So Johan is up here, and Ozzie has been activated. But, yeah, you got to try to keep it straight because you don't want to seem like you panic, even though you should be, because she ain't got no damn body. I wonder how he goes into, like, when he woke up this morning, like, which one of these I'm going to put in today? You know, I mean, you eventually have to get to that point, and I think Schnick is at that point, you know, with these pitchers, and you saw that how quick he optioned and kicked Folty and Nuke and all these guys up out of here. He's tired of it. But his hands are not, you know, he can't control what they do out there, and he couldn't control the fact that they didn't go get somebody at the break. All Schnick does is manage. And he's at a point where, hell, this is what I got right here. This is what I got. I got to make chicken, I got to find some way to get it done. I got to find some way to get a guy to at least give me 4 innings, and we're not down 6 damn runs.
Now, Tommy which guy's that going to be? Randy. Tommy huh? Malone. Tommy
which guy's
Malone,
that going to be?
Start number 3. You ready?
Oh. All right, Tommy. We cool. Me and Tommy, we cool because he didn't stank last time. But
he was
all
right last time.
Yeah, so we cool.
If you needed any further proof that Austin Riley had won the third base job, that just happened, right?
Yeah.
Like he won it, we knew, but Johan Camargo getting optioned is the final straw. So good for Austin Riley. He won it. He's been playing really well, both defensively and at the plate. Kind of don't know what the future holds for Johan Camargo. Said a couple weeks ago, he hasn't really played well since 2018. So maybe this will help. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to big deal, small deal, no deal. Brian Gebhardt back from his sabbatical. Also, Brian was the best man in a wedding over the weekend and gave a speech. I'm going to find out about that a little bit as well. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day Wednesday. 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. We'll get back into some of what Dan Quinn said yesterday to Dukes and Bell. It's getting paid season, Randy, which is always my favorite season. But it's getting paid season in the NFL. Teams always have these last couple little days where they get guys big contracts before the season starts. And yesterday was DeAndre Hopkins. Today, Jalen Ramsey.
Woo-hoo!
Get the loot, Jalen. I know you're a fan
of that. Yes, sir. He got that guap.
Yeah, they had to. You can't trade 2 first-round draft picks for a guy and then let him leave.
That's why you think Larry Thompson got that guap. We gave up 2 ones. We got to get something out of it. And then you remember yesterday, and I remember Brian just reminded me, remember the Rams needed to get $400,000 under the cap by 4 o'clock today.
Yeah,
so, I mean, they went out and got him all. Congratulations, Jalen. Well-deserved. He has been one of the top players at his position. And you look at these contracts this year, you've seen, like, market setters to a point where, damn, is anybody going to get to that? Like, I know Lattimore's coming up and the boy coming here this weekend. Griffin's coming up.
Oh yeah,
they're not going to get close to that. Lattimore's not as good as Jalen Ramsey. No, he's not.
Shaquem Griffin got cut, unfortunately.
Yeah, but they put him on the practice squad.
Yeah.
Man. Good for Jalen, man. And these cats keep getting all that loot, man. Get the loot, Jalen. That's congratulations, that young man.
Which league is more populated by former players? The Major League Baseball with former Marlins or the NFL with former Jacksonville Jaguars?
Former Jacksonville Jaguars.
They're just talent everywhere from both of those teams.
Who's the only person on that defense that should have went to, because Miles Jacks, that was a scoop and score, is Miles Jacks. If I'm him, I'm like, hey, man, get me the hell up out of here, man. Get me the hell up out of here.
He's the only one left. He's the only guy left. Yeah, and if they wouldn't have made that incorrect call in the AFC Championship game, Jacksonville probably would have gone to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They would have with that talent, because they had that level of talent. It probably still would have dissipated. It probably still would have gone away, because guys didn't want to play for that franchise. But anyway, good Braves news this morning, and we just mentioned, I know Tenitra put it in her sports flash, Ozzie Albies is back. Ozzie Albies back with the club. Could mean the dream lineup for once. And if the Braves are going to do what we think that they should do, which is just try to score 10 runs every single night because you can't pitch, having Ozzie Albies back in the lineup is helpful. I would also consider maybe never letting Enciarte play again.
Oh, my God.
Like, maybe do that as well. Like, let Ronald Acuna play center field, and never – Ender could be like a late-game pinch runner or something like that. But, like, the back end of that lineup is bad. He dropped the fly ball last night, Randy. Like, the reason he's in the game is to be a good defensive center fielder. He dropped a fly ball. Come on.
Yeah. All
right. Let's get to – Brian is back. Let's get to Brian.
And now, 92.9 The Game presents Big Deal, Small Deal, or No Deal with Brian Gebhardt on the Andy and Randy Midday Show.
Brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey, the only Tennessee high malt whiskey. Welcome back, Brian.
What up, B?
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Great.
You guys have a good weekend?
It was awesome.
I enjoyed my 19 days off. It was fun. As yeah. Randy tells you, it was 18 and a half, though, pretty much.
That's right. You worked last night.
That's right. And that's actually kind of where I want to start in Big Deal, Small Deal, No Deal. I had to deal with a little bit of a diva last night. And it wasn't John Chuckery, and although he can be a diva too. It wasn't Chris Goforth, who's never a diva. Randy McMichael shushed me yesterday during a commercial break. We were talking about the Braves game and Kyle Wright sucking it up. And Randy shushes me. And why does he shush me? Because his commercial is on the radio station, and he wanted to hear his own voice read that Dos Equis commercial. Big deal, small deal, no deal.
It's no damn deal, okay? All right? Because before all this pandemic, I had like five commercials. Now I'm down to one, so I wanted to hear it because it was the first time I heard it, Brian.
I mean, that is top-level media behavior. I mean, that is top-notch right there.
I'll take diva. I won't take the other one. I'll take diva, okay? So, yes, Wendy, I shushed him. Because I was like, Brian, shh. He's like, what?
Like, you shushed me twice, too. I really thought there was like a baby sleeping or something was happening. Where
like, is the baby sleeping? I was like, no, my commercial on. Oh, yeah. Hold on, Andy, because this is the thing. I was the last one to get endorsements and everything, right? And Brian records the endorsements, right? So don't get me started, because Brian was the one that would give me a heads up when it was going to come on so I could sit in the studio and listen to it, okay? All right, so don't go there, man. You know what? You created this animal, Brian.
You're saying I turned you into a diva?
You're Dr. Frankenstein. This is your monster.
Oh, I think he's partially right about this.
I think it's a small deal. I get it. I'm with Randy. If I had a commercial playing on the radio station right now, which I don't, I would love to listen to it as well. I would be doing the exact same thing, which I don't have one. But if I did have an endorsement, I would be listening very closely to it also. So, and hopefully someday that can happen for me.
Well,
dreams come true.
You just did one in the last commercial break. Maybe we'll hear it in a week or two. We'll find out.
That was an audition.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Andy's trying out to be a diva right now. If you need any pointers, just ask Randy. Okay.
I'll just be Randy's backup dancer. That's fine. I'm happy to be Randy's backup dancer for the next 13 years. It's worked for two. We'll do it for the next 13 years.
All right, moving on to an actual sports topic here. Big deal, small deal, no deal. Lincoln Riley saying Oklahoma won't share coronavirus test results during the season, citing it being a competitive disadvantage.
This is a big deal, man, because this ain't, I said in our meeting, this ain't no quad or no shoulder, man. This is something that, you know, can put a player out for a couple weeks, and you would like to know the possibility that somebody has it, you know, or why they're not playing. And that competitive advantage thing, it works, but for this reason and for what's going on right now, it don't work for me, man. It don't work for me, and it's not, you know, it's not right. It just isn't.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense either, because if they're positive with coronavirus, they're not going to play. So, I mean, I guess you wait later in the week to tell the other team, just like you do with other injuries. But that's why, to me, all of the coronavirus testing, all of the coronavirus reporting, everything that happens in college football and the NFL, like, should be taken out of the hands of the people that stand to benefit by the player being on the field the most. Like, you can't be making football decisions and using football strategies when dealing with the coronavirus. Otherwise, you end up making mistakes. So it should be third party. It should be third party testing. It should be third party decision making. And look, I mean, I guess, like, if it's some sort of HIPAA situation or some sort of personal privacy situation and the player doesn't want the news to be reported, I guess, I don't know, but it just seems like, and this is, we get back to what we were talking about a couple weeks ago with the Big Ten and their doctors and their findings and keeping all of that secret. It seems like with the pandemic, the more information is made public and the more we know about what individual programs and players are dealing with, the better. So I don't know. I mean, I get it because he's coming at it from the perspective that he's had on every injury or every player decision he's had to make in his entire career, and you always run it through the competitive advantage filter because you're a college football coach. But I don't know. I don't think he can do that with this.
No, you can't.
I think it makes sense with this one. Damn it. I wanted to hear about Brian's speech that he gave at the wedding.
I'll be back at 12:40.
And how drunk
he told me. He told me last night. I'm proud of him. Let's just say that because I've given the best man speech after a few hours of drinking. That's why I always think the best man speech should be right after they introduce the couple because of that fact that you got a best
the
man like
the
me.
Better.
That, yeah, sooner the better.
Yep.
Because I'd be up there crying and everything.
Me too. I'm 2 for 2 on crying at best man speeches. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the 11 o'clock hour. Dan Quinn was on with Duke Sabel yesterday, so don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. Roddy Nabalsi from UGASports.com going to join us in about 25 minutes for his Wednesday appearance. We'll get to the Wendy Zone at 11:40. Wendy Adams joins the show at 11:40 every single day. And we'll get to an NFL no huddle in just a minute as well. You're kind of keeping an eye on a little bit of breaking news. We'll get back to what the Braves did this morning, bringing Ozzie Albies back to the big club after a rehab stint, kind of, in Gwinnett where he was taking live batting practice. Looks like he's healthy. So Ozzie's back, which is great. Johan Camargo has been sent down to Gwinnett, so... You know, bummer for Johan Camargo that the season didn't work out the way that he hoped. But I think if Alex Anthopoulos, Brian Snicker, and the Braves are honest, it kind of worked out the way that they wanted. They wanted Austin Riley to be the third baseman. And
all the time.
Not by default. Austin Riley won the job. He's been really good the last month. His defense has been shockingly good this season. So good news for him. Not so good news for Johan. But hopefully good news for the Braves offense. One other thing. It's kind of being kicked around right now, and I don't have, like, full context on it. I'm kind of just getting bits and pieces. But the ACC coaches, basketball coaches, are proposing an all-inclusive NCAA tournament, meaning every of the 353-team Division I college basketball landscape would be included in the 2021 NCAA tournament. Apparently, the ACC is unanimously behind it. And I don't know, I guess they're kicking it around. I don't know where it goes from here, but everybody gets in at all 353 teams get into the NCAA tournament. Why would you do that? What's that about? I don't understand why that's an idea that they want to do.
What does it always go to? People spitball. Hey, hell yeah, they're going to work that gym. Well, Bob, I don't know if they'll go for it over there. Hey, Dale, come here, man. Look at the proposal I got. Oh, Chip, come here. Yeah, you know, just yeah,
Bob,
you know,
Dale, and Chip. Leave it up to them.
They're leave it up to them fools.
Kicking around proposal. Now, I guess the one theory that I would come up with as to why they would do this, and this is sort of where I always start when it comes to the NCAA,
money!
Is that would mean a lot of money because the NCAA tournament tends to be the big cash cow for college basketball, you know, the TV rights and all. Bring them out. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day Wednesday. 20 minutes away from the Wendy Zone. We'll get back into the most important audio in the world, top of the noon hour as well. A little bit more from Dan Quinn. I know you guys had Jeff Collins on the College Football Game Time show last night. Get you some of that as well. Before we get there, though, Wednesdays at 11:20 throughout the college football season are going to mean Roddy Nabalsi from UGASports.com joins us to talk some Georgia Bulldogs.
You sure we want to get Roddy on every Wednesday, man? Because Roddy be, you know, he be taking the cheap shots at me, and he don't think I'd be getting it.
But some people like that, though. Like, that might be one of the main reasons to have Roddy on is for the jabs that he throws at you, which I like, personally. I don't know. You want to just start with one, Roddy, or just work it in later?
No, I got to work it in. I got to soften him up a little bit, you know. It can't be straight up. I can't go toe-to-toe with him. But when he's not looking, it's coming.
Yeah, sucker punch. I'm with you. That's what I like to do, too. Well, let's start with where we started last week. I know when we had you on last, it was in the wake of the Jamie Newman news. Now we're about a week removed from it. Where are we at? What new do we know about the Georgia quarterback situation?
Well, I mean, let me reiterate something we pointed out last week, and it was confirmed by multiple sources since then. Jamie Newman decided to opt out for to go to the NFL. Had nothing to do with the quarterback race in UGA. He was well ahead in that race by all of my sources. So that had nothing to do with, oh, yeah, he's losing to J.T. Daniels or Dwight Mathis or something like that. Now, he kind of sprung that on me. Kirby Smart, you know, he told us last Tuesday, they announced on Wednesday, it came out of the blue. So I would like to, you know, get that narrative cleared up real quickly. As it stands right now, we had a two-man race between J.T. Daniels, you know, the former five-star quarterback, and Dwight Mathis, the quarterback that's Urban Meyer offered and, you know, was bringing to Ohio State, kid with a giant arm, you know, cannon for an arm, and maybe one of the fastest players on the team. Now, maybe not doesn't have that Eric Stokes track speed or Tyson Campbell speed, but, you know, if everyone's out running drills, he's one of the first. So he's lightning quick with his arm, I mean, with his legs, that can run like a deer. So I really think it comes down to what type of offense do they want to run. This new offensive coordinator, Todd Monken, want to run a more quarterback-centric system, or do you want to have a more pro style with J.T. Daniels? Neither one looked great in the past 3 years. The offense, the first team looked good against the defense, the second team, but going up against the one-on-ones, that did not fare very well. Georgia's got a lot of questions with offense right now that has to get answered. And we do not have an answer at quarterback yet.
Roddy Nabalsi joining us here on the WadeForward.com hotline. We're going to throw Roddy you on hold just for a quick minute, having a little bit of a tough time hearing him. Brian's going to see if he can fix that.
I mean, the Georgia's got one of the best defenses in the country.
Right, that's what I was thinking. Maybe the offense isn't looking so good against him because they've got a defense that everybody's raving about.
Yeah, but that's not like, you know, but that's going to, I mean, those are the growing pains you're going to have to go because, I mean, as big of a hot shot that JT Daniels was and Dwight Mathis, they're both still young quarterbacks, you know, and then you're going up against this defense that is one of the best in the entire country. So that's only going to make them better. And hopefully they'll just continue to figure it out. They still got time. Arkansas's defense will look nothing like the one they're facing in practice. This will be one of the best defenses they face all year in practice. Even if it's in a game. That's how good a defense that Georgia has.
All right, Roddy Nabalsi is back with us now.
Roddy?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, there
okay,
he
there you go.
There,
hey, Roddy.
Crystal clear.
Last week, because we focused a whole lot on the quarterback situation last week, but you did mention the running back situation. And in your opinion, and from what you're hearing up there, is it the Zeus show or are there other guys? Because I love me some James Cook, but is it going to be the complete Zeus show or is it going to be a running back by committee like Kirby usually likes?
Well, let's see. Where's the ball going? If it's going between the tackles, you hand it to Zamir White, you hand it to Zeus, you hand it those giant thighs and those turning legs, and you just watch him do his thing. But I think if you want to have those explosive plays, Todd Monken said, I want every eighth play, you know, or at least the average, you know, every, out of eight plays, one of them to be explosive, i.e. 15 and 20-yard pickup. To me, Zeus can do that, but I think James Cook out of the backfield, I think this is a guy who's going to catch a lot of passes because he in space is a nightmare. The guy is quick, great balance, great hands, can fly. I'm not trying to say he can't run between the tackles, but why would you do that when you have Zamir White, who's you know, just that kind of a – just go back to Nick Chubb and Sony Michel. They, you know, they both had their strengths and weaknesses and – you know, you use them as a hammer and tong, and you just absolutely kill defenses with them. So I think it's definitely the Zeus show, you know, when you've got Kirby Smart's kind of favorite style of, you know, attacking a defense is just to pound them down. But I think that Todd Monken, if you go back and look at his history, he likes to get his guys out in space, and I think that's what you do with James Cook. I've been a James Cook proponent for years. People keep forgetting about him. You know, they talk about Swift. They talk about Zeus. They talk about the other guys. I'm like, look, there's another five-star running back on that squad. Did anybody remember this? Do you remember his brother? Do you remember what he could do? And the last time we saw Cook, he put on some muscle mass. The kid looks great. And I do want to point out, remember the name Kenny McIntosh. I know Kendall Milton is the other five-star tailback that they just brought in from California. Kendall's missed the last two scrimmages with a hamstring issue, but he's fine. You know, he's ready now, but don't forget Kenny McIntosh. You saw how good he looked against Baylor. That is a kid who is he'll light you up too.
Roddy Nabalsi joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy from UGASports.com, our Georgia insider. Now, look, we spend a lot of time talking about quarterbacks, understandably. That's natural, easy. I think everyone goes there. But the reason that Georgia is going to be good this year, one of the reasons, if not the main reason, is that defense. And I've heard them called the no-name defense. We know some of the names. Some of the guys have been around for a while. But once we get a couple games into this year, who are some of these players on defense whose names we maybe aren't as familiar with right now that we're definitely going to know?
You need to know the name Trayvon Walker. True freshman last year. I always point out the fact that, you know, at 270 pounds, he was on the kickoff team, you know, kickoff coverage. You see him running down. It's always fun to see him just see some walk-on try to step in his way, in his lane, you know, and take him out of play. And just to watch that kid go flying. You should not enjoy stuff like that. It's wrong of me to enjoy watching that happen, but I couldn't look away. It was a train wreck that you knew was coming every time Blankenship kicked off. And it was just, as the game progressed, you know, you'd see that kid, you know, just get a little further and further to the left, you know, so they didn't have to square up with Trayvon Walker. But keep an eye on Trayvon Walker. Keep an eye on Tariq Stevenson. I know that he's the nickel and dime guy, but we reported in our insider notes at UGAsports.com, he's being cross-trained at safety. He may be one of the best guys in the secondary there, and that's including, you know, Eric Stokes, who everyone thinks is going to be drafted very highly and, you know, is all-SEC caliber player. You have Tyson Campbell, the other starting cornerback, who's, you know, former five-star guy, the number 24 player in the nation when he came out. You have really strong, you have great cornerbacks, but Tariq Stevenson may be the best one they have. So he's, you know, kind of behind the other guys on the depth chart. He hasn't been around 2-3 years like they have. But Tariq Stevenson, it's one of those situations where you got to get your best player on the field. So they're cross-training him at safety so he could be out there. And, again, Nolan Smith, the true freshman last year, that kid is just – I don't say he's unblockable, but it is very tough to stop him off the edge. So I keep those three names. People kind of know who they are, but by the end of the season, mm-hmm. they'll be household names.
Righty. I'm still with the DBs in the secondary. You know, LeCount's coming back, but please tell me how to correctly say this young man. Is it Sinin or Seen?
Seen. Louis Seen.
Seen.
Yeah, and again, losing Jarrett Reed is tough for any defense to replace. You know, the Reed was kind of the emotional leader back there. He's a very big playmaker. But Louis Seen, I hate to be the guy that says, oh, Georgia won't miss a beat when you replace so-and-so with so-and-so. That's a lot of people think that Georgia's offensive line is going to be fine because you're replacing, you know, Andrew Thomas and Isaiah Wilson and Solomon Kinley and Cade Mays with some other 4- and 5-star guys. The offensive line is a work in progress. It is nowhere near where it was last year. So you can't just plug and play and say everything's going to be fine. But I don't know that Georgia is going to have a big fall off in the safety spot because Louis Seen is such a talent. So, again, not trying to, you know, be very rah-rah about it. I'm just saying that, you know, what we've seen with Seen has been very strong. So Louis is he is a future star in the making. You got LeCount back there. You got two strong corners and a good nickelback, a good star position. Georgia secondary is one of the fastest I've ever seen. So it's going to be fun to watch when the ball goes in the air.
Kind of weird to be talking coaching vacancies so early. And I mean, with a lot of teams having not even played yet, but Southern Miss had their head coach step down. Two of the names that are immediately linked to that job are Todd Monken and Matt Luke for various reasons. What do you think about those connections and any idea that those guys would be interested in that at some point?
If I'm those guys, I get my name thrown out there just because think about it. Every time your agent gets your name associated with a job, if that head coach, you know, likes you or that program likes you, you get a raise. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying that that's the situation here. I'm just saying that if my agent reached out to me and said, hey, they're thinking about talking to you, what's your response? I'm like, yeah. And, oh, and by the way, leak it to the press. You know, I've had agents leak names to me over my career, and they're like, oh, yeah, Georgia's looking at this offensive coordinator at Notre Dame. And we put it out there, and all of a sudden the Notre Dame offensive coordinator gets a, you know, $300,000 raise. So I'm not saying that's the situation, but any coach, especially looking at a head coach spot like that, is going to be, you know, at least get his name out there. I've not heard of anything serious with those guys yet, so we will keep that. We'll keep digging there, but haven't heard. In other words, I don't think Georgia fans need to be worried yet. But if I'm either one of those coaches, I'm like, yeah, keep my name in the hopper. Yeah, absolutely, keep me in there.
In the hopper?
Can you do that?
Yep.
Can you do that for sports radio hosts? Is that?
The hell's a hopper?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, just leak that, and then we'll see. We'll go back to the bargaining table.
Roddy, you're telling on yourself being country, talking about it in the hopper.
That's the thing people say.
I start out in Decatur, wound up in Conyers, man. I'm as country as they come.
my man.
From Decatur,
appreciate it, my brother.
Roddy DeBossi. Thank you, Roddy.
Yeah. Appreciate it, bro.
Hey, thanks, guys. I'll talk to y'all later.
Roddy DeBossi from UGASports.com joins us
at 11:20.
I've never
said in no damn hopper before.
Well, put it in the hopper. It's a phrase people say.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not country, and I say it.
I ain't never heard nobody say in no hopper.
I don't even know what a hopper is, but it's a phrase that I use. I'll put it in the hopper. And then see what happens. Roddy's going to get us a raise. Did you hear that? We'll be right back. It's time for the Wendy Zone coming up next here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Be respectful of Wendy. She's a lady, all right?
She's a lady.
Behold, a lady.
I'm a lady.
All right, everybody stand up.
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you're not hungry, you become average.
The Wendy Zone every single day at 11:40 on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Hey, Wendy, how are you?
Wendy!
Happy NFL Eve, guys. Are you guys excited for tomorrow?
Yes. So excited.
Hey, Wendy.
Hey, Randy. Hey, Andy.
Can I ask you a question, Wendy?
Sure.
Sorry.
No, that's fine.
Just on that thing we were talking about at the end about putting it in the hopper. Is that a phrase that you're familiar with, the hopper?
Isn't that like a part of a commercial? Like, the hopper.
That is a different thing, yes.
Oh,
that is another example of what the hopper is.
I don't know, but, you know, it's always, you know, when you confabulate with a guy like Roddy, you'll always learn something new.
The hopper.
Well, we've had different explanations from different listeners. One listener, and I want to make sure I give credit, Philip says, tell Randy that a hopper is used in farming, quarry work, and in breweries. And so I told him that. Nolan says it's used in tennis. It makes training more efficient. It's a phrase that I've used, and I'll say this: I don't know the etymology or the origin of it, but when I use that term, and if I say, "Yeah, we'll put it in the hopper," that's essentially me telling you that I'm not gonna do what you want. Like I'm not gonna do your idea. Like, if you suggested an idea and I'm like, "We'll throw it in the hopper," that's Andy Bunker saying, "No, we're not doing that." So just in case I say that to you on accident, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. That's a phrase I've just never heard before. Is it like do Northern people use that phrase? I've never heard it.
It seems like it's a Southern thing. My man Keith Harris says that when something is in the hopper, it's going through the last refinement before it is ready to begin or to be presented. A hopper is a particular of an agriculture or industrial machine. It's a sorting device and separating things. Okay,
yeah,
such
you're separating
grains.
Stuff. Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right.
We'll put it in the hopper. And it's like, oh, we're getting ready the idea. It's an idea. We're working
it's
on it.
Brewing.
It's not ready yet. It's brewing. Right, exactly. But it's also a really easy way to say, yeah, we're working on that, but we're never going to do it. We'll put it in the hopper. It's a polite way of saying, dumb idea, but thanks for suggesting it.
Well, now we know what put in the hopper means and not the hopper. Good to know.
That's a TV thing. The hopper. That's a TV commercial. I know what you're talking about.
That's the only hopper I knew up until now, but I'm glad I know now what put it in the hopper means. But anyways, guys, I woke up to an email that said, set your fantasy football lineup for week one because it starts tomorrow. Randy, you got your lineup set for tomorrow?
No, I told you. The thing about it is because now me and Andy, we have in the 1 o'clock hour on Friday, we'll be giving our fantasy. So I've been doing nothing but reading up on it and practicing. I know Brian's going to help us out because he's a fantasy expert outside of me. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why I'm the champion. He's not. But, you know, I got all this down as far as who to draft and everything. And, I mean, I got some woo bangers for this weekend.
I'm excited to hear about them on Friday. But I changed my name yesterday, guys, because there was a Odell Beckham Jr. rumor. So my team name is Cleveland Steamers. I added a tagline, better than number two. On to the end of it, because there's a little bit of follow-up to that Odell Beckham Jr. story. If you want to look it up, exactly what the rumor was, I would do that because we can't really discuss it on the air. But just think Cleveland Steamers. Well, Odell Beckham Jr. kind of responding to it on his Instagram account. He posted a photo of himself on Tuesday. It's just him running on a football field. with this caption, can't knock me off my pivot, dot, 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 no matter what. And it's the word shoots or shot with an X in there, so you can just pronounce it the way you want, thrown my way. So no matter what, the bleep thrown my way. Mm-hmm. So is that him owning up to said rumor that's been going around about him?
Oh, I don't know. I'd say the same thing I said. Who gives a damn? I mean, because obviously he don't care.
I do a little bit. I care a little. It's just interesting.
I don't care. If you're a damn freak, be a damn freak.
Yeah, and that's my thing. That's my thing. If it is true, if I'm Odell Beckham Jr., okay, and that is true about me. Wendy's advice, by the way, to clarify the story to people was just think Cleveland Steamers, which is one of the best things that's ever been said on this radio show or any radio show. If I'm him and this is true about me, I'm happy that it's out there because now now all the ladies that are into that are going to hit me up. And now it's going to be easier for me to find people that want to participate in that kind of act.
So you just deal with nasty heifers then, huh?
Well, I mean, if that's what you're into, if you have a very specific kink, then people know about it.
Look, man, I told you before, man, people are into nasty stuff. People like old draws, sweaty draws, stinking socks, musty feet.
The nastiest thing you can think of, there is someone else that's into it.
See, I ain't nasty. I ain't nasty. I don't like funk around me. All right? I try not to be funky, so I don't like to be around funky people.
That was another part of the rumor, too, by the way, that he asked you to not shower for 24 hours.
Get your ass in the tub.
Well, some people like that. Not everybody does.
That's cool. I ain't one of them. I had a partner who liked his women hairy. He made sure his girlfriend didn't shave her legs.
There you go.
I wasn't into that.
Boom, shakalaka.
I like smooth.
Are you really stinky after 24 hours? You need to shower necessarily every 24 hours?
Hell yeah.
It depends on what you're doing.
If you want to lay up under Randy.
That's a prerequisite. Have you showered in the last 24 hours? Yes? Okay. Then we're good.
I have.
If you want to lay up under Randy, you better.
If I don't shower at least once every 18 hours this time of year in Atlanta, I'm in trouble. It's a two shower a day time of year for me. If you're a guy like me.
You get to the point where you too damn grown. If you ain't take a shower and your litmus test is if you got to smell your damn underarms, then you nasty.
Yeah.
You're going to take a damn shower. If you got
to
smell your damn underarms,
it's time for a shower.
Yes, that's you musky. Musty. I'm going to smell your damn underarms.
That's the worst part about quarantine, though, is, I mean, it's either you or the people that live with you. So, or in Wendy's case, it's just you. And if something smells musty, then it's you. Then it's time. It's time to go hop in the shower. But I'm just saying, Randy, just because it's not what you're into, don't yuck his yum. That's what I told you yesterday. Everybody's got their own different things they're into.
Didn't you hear me say, I don't care if you're a nasty freak. Be nasty. Be freaky.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'm saying, own it. So if you're Odell and your nasty fetish got out there publicly yesterday, now it's going to be easier for people to find
but
other people
thing is,
that
are why do it. My thing is, why do people believe clout chasers? Because that's what these broads are. That's all they do. That's what they're doing that for. Like, they doing it for their followers. So everybody can, man, please.
But let's say the rumor is true. How do you approach somebody now that you know he's interested in that? Like, what's your opening line? Be like,
I ain't got no opening line. He a man. I don't care what he do in his bedroom.
How do you get to that? That is always a question that I have. How do you get to that point where
who has those conversations with anybody?
Right. Exactly.
Don't you have to?
And if you're into it, how do you bring it up? How do you broach the topic? Like,
just shower before you get to the facility. That's all I need to do.
Well, again,
he doesn't like that.
I know what you're into, Randy. You got to think of other people. Just
you can't come up there smelling like boo boo. You better go wash yourself.
Unless that's what you want.
Man, please.
I just don't know how you bring that up.
Nobody wants to walk around smelling like that, Andy Bunker.
Odell does.
No, he don't. I'm sure Odell got all kinds of.
We've been on a couple dates now.
CK1 and everything.
I think we have a special connection going. I'm just wondering if you'd like to take this to the next level. Oh, you love me? No,
hey,
I'm wondering if you'll drop a Cleveland steamer on me.
Hey, man, you might. Hey, whatever, man. Y'all just nasty. I'm over here laughing at damn Willie P. Willie P. that took a damn balcony selfie. Damn Willie. Damn.
Here's the thing about Willie P.'s selfie. It's a thread. And in both tweets, there's two different selfies.
Willie P. got a damn balcony.
He got a selfie thread. Willie P's got a selfie thread. He's taken Mike Bell's selfie game and one-upped him. I see your selfie and raise you another selfie.
Why?
Tinder profile.
Where's this
can you
at?
Put that in your Tinder profile? Can you talk? Anyway, thank you, Wendy. Great work.
I think you're welcome.
We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. Big 12 o'clock hour ahead. Dan Quinn was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday, as he will be every single Tuesday at 3:10 throughout the NFL football season. We'll let you hear that conversation coming up in about 25 minutes. Some damn good questions with Brian coming up at 12:40 as well. We'll get to the most important audio in the world in just a minute. Some stuff kind of breaking, and we got good breaking news today during the show, Randy.
Yeah.
We found out about Ozzie Albies coming back to the Braves' active roster today. He's back from his stint on the injured list. So that's good news, right? Better than we got yesterday with Max Fried.
Hell yeah. Man, I can't complain about it.
So we did it. We got good news on the show.
Yeah. All right. Finally.
All right. Good. All right. I'm still trying to recover mentally from that last segment. I'm proud of it. I'm proud of what we said on the radio. Sometimes when we go to break, though, I'm like, wow. It's a good thing the break came, because it was about to get way worse.
No, it wasn't going to get worse, because I think everybody has their own thing. Whatever. I'm not going to judge you for being nasty. Hold on. What I think is nasty. You don't think it's nasty, that's fine. You're just a damn nasty MF.
Okay, right? Then, that's judging. You added a swear word to it. That's judging.
So what? I'll judge. Okay.
I'm not. Fine. I'm not nasty. Call it what you want. I've just always been open-minded.
I ain't open-minded about that.
And right? I'm not open-minded about that either, just to clear the air. That's not my thing.
Just what I'm saying. There's some thing that I don't need to know about my partner that Atlanta needs to know. So just make sure you clarify. You ain't in. That ain't your style, right?
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
You seem like a very normal human, Andy, from what I know.
But again, you can be a normal human and be into some stuff like that.
Man, please. I ain't into that.
Whatever gets you through your day, man.
I'm not into that brutality stuff. I don't like feet and all that. No, I don't do all that.
Me either.
And barbed wire and you know, whips. No. Hell no. What you hit me for? What the hell you hit me for?
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Like, what's the dominatrix stuff? No,
yeah,
you wouldn't be stepping on me with no damn high heels. What the hell wrong with you?
I'm like, some people into that stuff. Season three of Billions.
Yes, that's what I was thinking about Billions. Some people into stuff like that.
They are.
I ain't into it.
They seem to have a relatively healthy marriage. Like, they're both into
She's into it.
Yeah, and so is he.
I wish I would go to Donna talking about some baby tie me up.
For what?
Tie you up? For what? Hell, I'm handy, Andy.
Handsy.
I'm handsy, Andy. Yeah, I need these things.
Yep. Yeah. That's not a rhyme I needed, but that's okay. It's midday show with Andy and Randy here on a Wednesday. Let's get to the most important audio in the world. Again, I'm sure Johnson and Alday is thrilled to have their. To have their injury attorney, to have their law firm associated with that type of conversation. Visit johnsonandallday.com.
All day. So, Coach, I mean, there's no, our signal is strong here at 99 The Game, but not all the way to Tallahassee. Now, the four quarterbacks, I mean, I know you waited to 3:30, but maybe, you know, you could possibly give us a little hint, maybe, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. One of my favorite topics is who's going to be the starting nose guard. I can tell you that. I'll go into great lengths about Jamin Brooks and how he's earned number zero to play nose guard for us at Georgia Tech. Zero stars, zero offers. Came here as a walk-on, became a starter in our program at defensive tackle, earned a scholarship, earned the number zero. But the quarterback position, that's not something we'll talk about tonight.
All right.
It was a nice try, though. That very media member attempt.
See, I knew exactly what you were going to say. I know why Brian played it. So, whatever. Y'all can make sure y'all catch our conversation full with Coach Collins this weekend. But he's right, though. I mean, the one thing I like Coach Collins because I like football men, you know. And Coach Collins is a football man. And he got like, you know, like when I talk about, when I talk to Dave Archer or West, they football guys. Like the football guys, you can just sit back and just be football guys. That made no damn sense what I just said. But,
no, it does. I know what you're saying.
But I mean, there's no reason to let anybody know who your damn quarterback is. There is.
Nope.
What for?
Yeah. Nope.
3:30 down there in Tallahassee, but it was crazy, Andy, because they were telling us about all the free, all the like the new precautions and everything they're going to be doing and everything to get to the stadium and to get to their hotels and stuff like that. Man, you want to talk about being extra careful, extra careful.
Yeah, and that's the right thing to be. I mean, yeah. If they want to play these games, keeping everybody safe and COVID free is how they're going to have to go about it. I'm looking forward to Georgia Tech, Florida State on Friday or on Saturday afternoon on ABC, a nationally televised game.
Mm-hmm.
The first year of Jeff Collins and sort of laying the foundation and the culture's changed, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
The way that people talk about Georgia Tech, the type of athlete that Georgia Tech is recruiting and bringing into the program has changed. Now it's a time to start the other part, which is winning games. And I know the expectation still this season, you know, we're not talking about a team that's going to be 9-1 or whatever, but win more games than last year, be more competitive against quality opponents than last year, and start working towards being one of those teams that every single year we're talking about, yeah, Georgia Tech's a contender in the ACC, but beating Florida State, they can beat Florida State this Saturday.
Yeah, they can beat Florida State. I mean,
they go
Florida
out and
State,
beat Florida State, that's a great way to start your season.
I mean, and then you talk about a 3:30 game, that's the big deal. That's a big deal on the ABC and everything. So they're gonna get an opportunity to go out there and play in front of, you know, show, because everybody's gonna be, it's gonna be people gonna be tuned in. We love college football, all right. We're gonna be tuned in, so don't worry about that. But yeah, that's a big step for him and his program, and you could tell that he's doing everything he can do. It's again, well, you get to listen to this conversation Saturday on College Football Game Time here on Sports Radio 99 The Game. And, you know, he just talks about all that stuff that he's trying to get over there as far as getting bigger linemen and you know, just this culture. And I love what he said about what he's doing with his players as far as voting and giving them that whole day off. I mean, it was just a great conversation with him.
Well, here's the thing about the quarterback conversation with Georgia Tech. Whoever it is, when they finally make the choice, and they've probably already made the choice, but when we find out on Saturday, that quarterback's in a pretty solid position. Like, Georgia Tech has a good offensive line. He's going to have good protection. Georgia Tech has some really good running backs.
They do.
Jordan Mason is fantastic. And if you're a quarterback who may very well be making his first start, being able to hand the ball to a guy like that, very helpful. I'm excited to see Jahmyr Gibbs. Like, I don't know how much he's going to play. I don't exactly know what his role is going to be. But that's the kind of guy they weren't getting before. You get a talented, like, I mean, the way that he's been talked about, everybody's raving about him in the lead up to the season. I'm excited to see what Georgia Tech looks like. I'm excited to see what their offense looks like. I think their running backs are going to be really good this year. So we get a chance to see him on Saturday.
Yeah, they cool.
I went too far, didn't I?
Yeah, you went way too damn far.
For you, not for me. I like Georgia Tech. I hope
We know that you a damn traitor, so whatever.
Yeah, well, not a traitor. Not a traitor at all. In order for me liking Georgia Tech to make me a traitor, then I would have had to have had an allegiance to Georgia at some point, right?
Well, my thing with it is that you bringing up too much that you're a fan of their school, and you still haven't told me why.
Too many details about what I like about Georgia Tech?
I don't really care. There it is.
Okay.
What? Who really cares?
All right. I mean, I hope Georgia does good too.
No, we are going to do good.
I hope so.
Yeah, they're not going to do good. They're not going to do good. They're not
Georgia
do
Tech.
Good. Nah.
I think Georgia will be better than Georgia Tech this year.
Of course, we are.
Pretty confident in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The spicy take of the day.
Both of them are going to win more games than the University of Washington's going to win this fall. So
of course, because they're not playing. All right, can we talk? Can we move on, man?
Oh, you want to?
Yeah.
All right, we can get to the next one.
Yeah, I gave them too much time.
Alex Anthopoulos.
Too, and his big concern was, you know, he wanted to make sure there wasn't going to be an element of rust. So it seemed like in an ideal scenario, we would have been able to move him back a few days, and he would be fine, and it would resolve itself. But with no off days and trying to make sure that he's 100%, and he agreed for him to grind through it probably wouldn't be the smartest thing. So we're extremely confident this is this will be short lived.
In an ideal scenario, Alex, Max Fried wouldn't be hurt at all. And in an ideal scenario, Mike Soroka also wouldn't be hurt. And Felix Hernandez wouldn't have opted out. And Cole Hamels wouldn't have been hurt since February. And Mike Foltynewicz wouldn't have lost 20 pounds and turned into a joke. Like, in an ideal scenario, we wouldn't be dealing with any of this. So, obviously, the scenario is not ideal. Max Fried's on the 10-day IL. We found this out yesterday. He's got some muscle spasms on his left side. Apparently, he was dealing with it either during the start or right before the start over the weekend, and they tried to pitch through it. Look, hopefully he gets back soon, because before he got hurt, it was, all right, every fifth day, at least we know what we're getting, and maybe Ian Anderson can be a part of that too. Now it's just a question mark every single day. I mean, literally every single day, it's a question mark as to what you're going to get from a starting pitcher from the Atlanta Braves. Today, it's Tommy Malone. Okay. Hopefully he goes four. I mean, I don't know.
Go four and don't give up six damn runs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's as much as I can say about it. And I'm sure that's what Brian Snicker is saying when he puts him out there. Like, just don't be a disaster. Let us allow us to give us a chance to give us a chance that win the game without having to be spectacular. You know what I mean?
Let's save the miracles for October. You know what I mean? Like, let's not have all these 9-run, 7-run comebacks because our starting pitching is a disaster in August and September. Now, the good news from the Braves today is that Ozzie Albies has been recalled. He'll be back with the big club, and hopefully he's in the starting lineup tonight. They did send down Johan Camargo, so Johan Camargo no longer up, which to me means Ozzie Albies immediately starts at second base, and I would bat him ninth. The other thing I would do is move Ronald Acuna to center field, keep him in the leadoff spot, let Nick Markakis play right field, and not play Ender Inciarte anymore. That's what I would do. I would improve the lineup by no longer having Ender Inciarte in it.
Well, Andy, you do know that ain't going to happen, right?
It might happen.
I doubt it.
It could.
I wish it would, but I doubt it. The loyalty is not going anywhere, man. It's there. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, at least Ozzy's back. That's good. Here's Alex Anthopoulos on Fulte.
You know, he's throwing again today, so, you know, he continues to work extremely hard, but, you know, it's hard for me to put any type of expectations at this point. I can tell you that he's doing everything that he can. His work ethic has been off the charts. So, you know, we're going to continue to try to get him back to where he was, and we'll see how he does tonight, but certainly each outing that he has down there can only help to get him sharp.
Yeah, so I mean, that's Fulte being a potential option. I mean, I don't know, it doesn't sound like Alex Anthopoulos has a lot of faith in that, understandably. I don't have any expectation for him either, but what's your expectation for the team now? Like, keeping your head above water is something we've said a lot over the last couple of weeks. Like, what does that mean exactly? I mean, division, playoffs, 500? What's your expectation for these guys?
I don't know. I don't have any right now, Andy. My expectations were before the season, I knew what they were. But right now, I mean, my expectations should never change. I'm always going to think the Braves should win a World Series. But I don't know, because there's no way in the hell that they're going to compete with the Dodgers the way they plan. No way in blank.
They can't compete with the Marlins over the last couple
of
games.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So, I mean, they need to just, you know, do your best, guys.
That's the expectation now. Go out there and do your best.
Yeah.
Damn.
Do your best, guys.
I mean, maybe with the offense, you know, they still have a really good offense. Just try to score 15 runs every single night, and it won't matter if Tommy Malone gets batted around the park. Dan Quinn was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday. We'll let you hear the entire conversation coming up in 10 minutes. Here he is talking about the game plan versus Russell Wilson.
Well, I think, you know, especially with Russ, this is a, you know, supremely accurately quarterback who can get outside the pocket, and so it'll take plays where you're going to have to chase him all over the field. That's been part of his game for a long time, and his accuracy on the run, but that's one part of it for sure. But the speed and attitude and effort with those guys and how they play, I think that will be really clear, you know, to everybody who's watching us. Say, man, that looks like it's supposed to in terms of the speed, the effort, the toughness, the hitting, you know, from this defense. That's what I've seen so far in camp, and I certainly expect that to continue beginning this week.
Well, let's hope so. You got a pretty solid test week one in terms of the quarterback you're going up against, and that's not going to be any different from the entire season. The Falcons are playing some great quarterbacks this year. Speed, toughness, all that kind of stuff, that's good. How do you stop Russell Wilson?
How do you stop him?
Yeah, what do you do?
Well, when he makes that one mistake, you got to take advantage of it.
Exactly.
And you got to keep 22 eyes on Russ a lot of times because he's so dynamic back there, and he knows exactly like there it is. Russ is never rushed. You know what I mean? Even though it seems like he's like moving and scrambling, he's just never rushed. He's always patient with his decision making. But yeah, when you get at Russ, you got to get him on the ground. You got to get him on the ground because the only thing that if you want to say a bad thing that Russ does is when Russell is wrapped up, he tends to try to throw the ball instead of taking that sack. He tries to throw the ball instead of taking that sack. And those are a lot of times the ball will be thrown errantly. And if he does that, you got to catch that football.
Yeah, he'll throw two or three of them a game. A throw that most guys wouldn't make, an ill-advised throw. You got to come up with it. You turn them over and you make them pay for it like that. I agree. Dan Quinn was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday. He'll be on with them every Tuesday at 3:10. We'll let you hear the entire conversation coming up next year on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you on a hump day Wednesday. Match day as well for Atlanta United. We're an hour away from Jason Longshore joining the show, as he does on Wednesdays at 1:20. And you said this earlier, Randy. It's like these Atlanta United matches, now that they're back at it and you know, playing twice a week, just kind of sneak up on you, don't they?
Yeah, man.
Just talking about what happened over the weekend, now they're playing again.
Yeah, they are, man. And I don't know about the momentum and all that, man. But I can tell you something. As United fans, the frustration that a lot of us have, we can't be more frustrated than those guys out there that's trying to figure it out themselves. So hopefully they go down to Miami. Are they better than Miami? Well, they should go down and get a win, Dan.
I think so. Right. I think they're better than them. Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
All right.
Get a win. Sure. No, I'm not sure. I'm not really sure about a whole lot right now when it comes to it.
Me neither, man. But we're going to have my guy Jason Longshore on, and we are going to get to the bottom of this thing, man, because I didn't wear my United shirt today, but I still think they're going to win.
Well, you know who is sure about Atlanta United? That's Jason Longshore.
Yes.
Why we'll talk to him in an hour. 20 minutes from now, Brian Gebhardt will join us again with some damn good questions. Before we get there, though, Dan Quinn was on with Dukes of Bell yesterday. He'll be on with them every single Tuesday throughout the NFL season, 3:10 or so. And yesterday was the first conversation, and they started it out very cordially by saying, "How are you, Coach?"
Oh, Mike, man, I'm pumped to be on with you guys, too. I'd say excitement wouldn't be the word to describe how I'm feeling because we're getting to do some football here, man. So everybody is worked really hard to earn the right to play. And so over the last month or 6 weeks, man, I've been proud of the group. They came in ready to get rocking and had to follow, you know, strict protocols at every turn. But they just came in with the right attitude, with the right mindset to say, man, we are going after it. And so that part, whether it was all the protocols and staying in the space, they've really thrown a good training camp. And now that we're into game week, we're ready to get started, man.
Is this the most challenging preseason you've ever had to coach?
I think it was probably the most adjustable. And so it was just different because coming in, you had to have a real mindset to say, hey, things are going to be fluid and have to change based on, you know, different protocols that would go about. And, you know, something that's easy like, well, we've had a team meeting all the time. Well, some were online and some I did in the indoor, you know, facility so we could space out and have conversations. But at the end of it, being on the field with the players and making sure, you know, getting our football aligned exactly right, that was a big piece of it. But I got to give the credit to the players. They came in excellent shape, you know, ready to really, you know, kind of put their best foot forward. So from ramp up time, walkthroughs, you know, I just kind of said, how do we work and put a block in each day to make sure we're getting all the things done that we need to as the season gets closer and closer. And so the roles started emerging. Starting lineups, how we'd feature players. It just became clearer and clearer, you know, as we're starting to get closer to the season.
DQ, now the camp is over. We're talking with Dan Quinn, coach of the Falcons guys here on Dukes and Bell. The rookie class, and you've seen good rookie classes. We've had some. But the rookies that are going to see time for us, are they where you thought they would be, or are they further along? And how difficult has it been evaluating this rookie class with all this stuff that's going on?
And I would say in an answer, I would say probably both. I would say some were where I thought they'd be and some are further along. The good news is, you know, for this, you know, draft class, just about all of them have a game day role heading into the season. And so really, when you're looking, you know, to add players to the team, that's one of the topics that you think of. Okay, what role would he have, and how would we incorporate this player to the team? So, knowing that the, you know, whether it's AJ and, you know, Hennessy, Michael, Marlon, Jalen Hawkins, Hoffrichter, all have a game day role, you know, that we can kind of envision, that's a big piece of this. So, they had a difficult time learning. Not a difficult time. They had a challenging time to get it all in because they had to do it all online. But one maybe silver lining was how strongly they did learn and put the time in. Because when we got here into camp, there were very few busts in terms of assignment, alignment, because you can tell they had put so much work in. Then it was a matter of, all right, how quickly can they react and make full-speed decisions based on a coverage or a changing, you know, part of the defense. So those were the things to see how quickly they could come into view. And so for a number of the rookies, they were able to adapt pretty quickly.
It is Falcons head coach Dan Quinn with us, guys, here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. We talked about Matt Hennessy. We didn't get to see him because we're not there to bother you this year at camp, Dan, but we heard that Hennessy looks great. But how is it, what's his status, he and Marlon Davidson, for week one?
Yeah, so they both have been limited some in training camp to injuries, but both are back practicing. They were able to practice yesterday and back practicing this week. So as they're going through their first, you know, game week, we'll get closer to see where they're at as we're going to it. But both of them really had, you know, picked some spots in training camp where they really shined. And now that we're into the regular game week, we're fortunate that, you know, they're both able to participate and get, you know, all parts of the game plan in order.
Guys, it's game week, Falcons, Seahawks, Sunday, and you'll be able to listen to it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coach, I want to ask you this, but I want you to understand where it's coming from. But with the way that we started last year and even the year before that, have you attempted to ensure or do things differently to try to not to have our team start off slow? Did you change anything to maybe create some urgency? Have you tried anything different?
Well, you definitely don't want to just, you know, repeat and do the same thing. So I looked at every facet of things of how we could change some of the training camp practices, how we would change some of the ways in-season things to do, how we feature guys in different spaces. And really what it comes down to is how do we continue to, you know, find spaces for complementary football, you know, the field position battle, the turnover margin battle, you know, the third down on both sides. So those things we spend an extraordinary amount of time on to make sure – we want to get our alignment as a team really locked in. So that part doesn't take time to figure out. And so coming in, we had a real vision for the players, how they would go, and we tried to put them into those roles as quickly as we could. And we did just about every training camp practice with our best on our best. So sometimes it would be ones, twos, twos, ones as you're evaluating different people. But we just went after it against one another in every instance. So those were some of the steps that we took to make sure, you know, we got a different style of start than we've had over the last 2 years.
Dan, I know you want to get pressure from your front four. Dante Fowler, everybody's raving about his attitude and helping the younger players as well. We hear Comiskey's look good. Tack being healthy and Tack's head's right. I mean, what are we going to look like getting after Russell Wilson on Sunday?
Well, I think, you know, especially with Russ, this is a, you know, supremely accurately quarterback who can get outside.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.